laid this on my heart about 4 o'clock this afternoon, and I want to try to bring it, and I'd be honest, I didn't have a whole lot of time. There's not much meat to it, but we're going to have to depend on the Holy Ghost to hang just a little bit of meat on the bones tonight, amen? And if He will, we'll be blessed, and if not, why, we'll leave tonight in a sad affair, but that's the way it is every time we come to church. If God doesn't do it, folks, it's not going to get done, not only in church, but in our own personal lives as well. If God doesn't do it for us, it will not get done. We're a needy people and unable to accomplish spiritual things apart from Him. Amen. Song of Solomon, chapter number 1. I've been preaching through this book in chapter number 1, and I want to continue our thinking in that book tonight with God's divine help. Song of Solomon, chapter number 1. And as always, we're going to begin reading at the beginning of the chapter in verse number 1. The Bible said, "The song of songs, which is Solomon's, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. Because of the savor of thy good ointments, thy name is as ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. Draw me, we will run after thee. The king hath brought me into his chambers. We will be glad and rejoice in thee. We will remember thy love more than wine. The upright love thee. I am black but comely, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, as the tents of Kedar, as the curtains of Solomon. Look not upon me because I am black, because the sun hath looked upon me. My mother's children were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards, but mine own vineyard have I not kept. Tell me, O thou whom my soul loveth, where thou feedest, where thou makest thy flock to rest at noon. For why should I be as one that turneth aside by the flocks of thy companions? If thou know not, O thou fairest among women, go thy way forth by the footsteps of the flock, and feed thy kids beside the shepherd's tents. I have compared thee, O my love, to a company of Pharaoh, to a company of horses in Pharaoh's chariots. Thy cheeks are comely with rows of jewels, thy neck with chains of gold. We will make thee borders of gold with studs of silver. While the king sitteth at his table, my spikenard sendeth forth the smell thereof. A bundle of myrrh is my well-beloved unto me. He shall lie all night betwixt my breasts. My beloved is unto me as a cluster of camphor in the vineyards of En-Gedi." Now may the Lord add His richest blessing to that portion of the reading of His Word tonight. Let's pray together. Our Father, I'm thankful tonight for another privilege to be in the house of God. I thank You, Lord, for the songs that we've sang tonight and done our feeble best to honor and to glorify the darling Lamb of God that loved us and laid His life down for us, that we might have eternal life, everlasting life. Lord, that we may never be separated from Thee. I thank You tonight for the Bible, God's Word that's before us, and the privilege of preaching it. Lord, I realize tonight my inabilities. I realize that I'm very weak and feeble. But Lord, Your Spirit and Your power. Now I pray that You'll come up on this unworthy vessel of clay tonight with fresh oil that I know not of, and anoint me with Your power and Spirit, and give me the power and the liberty to preach the Word of God. May sinners be turned out of the way and come to know Christ. And may Your people find help and blessing and joy and hope in the Scripture. And we'll thank You for all that You do in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank You. And you may be seated for just a moment tonight. I want to call your attention in our text verse to verse number 14. I'll tell you the reason that I'm continuing our thought in the Song of Solomon tonight rather than on Sunday morning. Verse number 14 is a continuation of the thought of the bride in verse number 13. And I labored on that somewhat in Sunday morning, and I just want to give you a few thoughts on verse 14 tonight that I hope will be a blessing to you. Solomon says there, he says, "My beloved is unto me as a cluster of camphor in the vineyards of En-Gedi." Now, if God would help me tonight, I want to preach for a little while on squeeze the grapes and taste the juice. Squeeze the grapes and taste the juice. I'm going to tell you, if you're ever going to get the juice out of the grapes, they're going to have to be squeezed. Amen. Squeeze the grapes and taste the juice. Now, in verse number 12, and I've already preached on that, but we find the bride there in sweet and blessed communion with her groom. She is sending forth the odors of worship as the king sits at his table. She is there in sweet and in blessed communion with our Lord. He is seated in his exalted position as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And may I say this, I want to say it, I'm going to say it, that he deserves our worship. He not only deserves our worship, but he demands our worship. He seeketh such to worship him in spirit and in truth. And not only does he deserve it, but he demands it, my friend, from the Word of God. And our Lord is exalted there, and the bride finds herself under the table, just partaking of the crumbs that falls. By the way, that is a Gentile bride that is there. I realize that this is a Gentile bride that is speaking here. That's what you are, by the way, is a Gentile dog saved by the grace of God. Somebody said, "Preacher, I don't like that term." I didn't ask you whether you liked it or not. I simply said it is a Bible term that we are Gentile dogs, my friend. We were alienated from the commonwealth of Israel. We were separated from the covenants of promise. We were alone in this world and without hope. But I'm glad that the Lord Jesus, being a Jew, came into this world, died on Calvary's tree, and broke down the middle wall of partition between us, and made it possible that God could bring the gospel to us old Gentiles also. Now, I'm telling you, my friend, I'm thrilled in my soul tonight to be a Gentile under the table of the Jewish king, partaking of the crumbs that simply fall from his table. And by the way, while I am seated there, my friend, I want to send forth the odor of my spikenard. I want to worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, as she worships him there in spirit and in truth, her graces are exercised. Her spirit within her is stirred when she contemplates upon the grace and the glory and the majestic beauty of the Son of God. Her spirit is stirred within her. I want to say, friend, if you'd ever sit down and get a hold of the greatness of God and the glory of His Son, I'll assure you that your spirit would be stirred within you. Somebody said, "Well, I know who God is." Yeah, but do you really know that God, being the Almighty, the Omnipotent One, the Omniscient One, I'm talking about the God of all ages, wrapped Himself in a robe of flesh and condescended to this earth that He might lift you out of the quagmires of your sin and save you by the grace of God? I'm telling you, whenever I think of the cross, my soul and spirit within me is stirred. It exercises my soul and my spirit, and I cannot help but begin to magnify the Lord when I realize who He is and what He is and what He's done on my behalf. Bless his wonderful name. And as she began to meditate on the Lord, her spirit was stirred within her. And she began to see him in all of his majestic glory. And hear her relationship unto him. Oh, thanks be unto God, friend, for a relationship that we have with the Lord. He is my Father. I am his Son. Hallelujah to God. The fellowship may be broken, but the relationship stands firm. I am a child of God. Somebody said, have, Brother Hall, by birth. I have been born again into the family of God. He is my Father. I'm his Son. Jesus is my elder brother. And I'm glad that being my next of kin, he has come to redeem me from the power of sin and birth me into the family of God and make me God's own child. Hallelujah to God. That's right. And her spirit is stirred. And she begins to relate back to the Lord. And she said there, she said, he is like a bundle of myrrh. I'm going to let him lay right betwixt my breast all night long. Next to my heart, that's where I want him. As a bundle of myrrh, as a sweet odor in my nostrils. He is precious to me. Oh yes, the cross that he bore was bitter like myrrh. But the life he gives is sweet like the odor. I want him to lay there all night long that I may inhale the sweet fragrances of Christ. I want to ask you something, friend. Have you ever got a good sniff of the sweet fragrances of Christ? He's like a bundle of myrrh, my friend, that is sweet in his odor to the spiritual nostrils of a son of God. Oh, yes, when I think about him to me, I am complete in him. He is my justification. He is my sanctification. He is my glorification. He is my wisdom. He is my power. He is everything unto me. I'm glad that everything I couldn't be, he is. Hallelujah to God. He's my Lord. He's my King. He's the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley. He's the bright in the morning star, the first and the last, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. He's the resurrection and the life. He's the first. Oh, yes, he is the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes unto the Father but by him. Hallelujah. Bless his wonderful name. That is right. Now, when she meditates on him and she compares him to a bundle of myrrh that will lie betwixt her breast all night long. And then secondly, in our text, she said, my beloved is also unto me a cluster of camphor, as camphor in the vineyards of Engedi. Now, friend, hey, if that's out of the vineyards and it's a cluster of camphor, then she must be referring to a bundle of grapes. Amen. She's got to be saying that I'm comparing him to a bundle of grapes in the vineyards of Engedi. I want to say to you tonight, squeeze the grapes and taste the juice. Have you tasted of the Lord and found that He's good? Oh, yes. Have you really tasted of the juice that flows, my friend, from the bundle of camphor? Adam and Getty, who is none other than our Lord. His juice is sweet to the taste, and it's good for the belly. Drink no longer water, but a little wine for thy stomach's sake. I tell you, if you'll drink the joy of the wine from the grapes of Engedi, it'll bless your soul as none other ever has. Bless his name. Hallelujah to God. Now, I won't be long, but I want you to notice something. Notice, please, the character that she gives to the Lord first of all. She calls him. Now, I know I'm going to make somebody in the listening area mad when I preach this. It never fails. For she calls him, my beloved is unto me. Now that is an amazing thing that she gives him or renders him such an endearing title. My beloved, my one, my only, nobody else. I'm a spouse to him. I would not permit another the sacred place of laying betwixt my breast all night. He is my beloved. But I'm going to tell you the amazing thing. She already called him her beloved in verse number 13. And friend, when the Bible says something one time, it's important. But I'm telling you, when it says something two times, it's really important. But when it says something in one verse and repeats itself in the next verse, hey, you better get a hold of something, for it is really, really important what God is trying to say. And twice there, in as many verses, the bride calls him my beloved. He is like a bundle of myrrh. He is like a cluster of camphor. He is my beloved. Now, she uses that same endearing term. Now somebody said, what does that mean? Well, I know I'm fixing to make somebody mad. Huh? But it teaches us that Christ, being once the believer's beloved, is always the believer's beloved. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying he's not only our beloved one time, he is our beloved all the time. Somebody said, there you go. On that old once saved, always saved. Call it whatever you want to call it. But I tell you, friend, I know that I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And I'm sealed in the day of redemption by the Holy Ghost. He that has begun a good work in me will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. I and my Father are one, even as I am they are one. I'm here to tell you, my friend, I have a blessed union with Christ. You better believe that He is my beloved always. He had never lost any. Now, I don't have a problem with Pentecostals, per se, as long as, you know, I've got a problem with their doctrine. I don't have a problem with General Baptists, but I got a problem with their doctrine. I don't have a problem with Methodists, but I had got a problem with their doctrine. For I do believe that a sinner that is in grace, my friend, is in grace. Oh, there is no falling from grace. Oh, no. We are His child, sealed that way until the day of redemption. I have been born again. I have been delivered from the spiritual birth canal of the Holy Ghost and the Word of God. And there is not a power in heaven, nor in earth, nor beneath the earth that can ever put me back through the birth canal and unbirth me, bless your heart. Somebody said, you believe once saved, always saved? I'll tell you what I believe. Eternal salvation. That's what the Bible teaches. For God so loved the world. Very simple, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For His Son came into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might have life. Now I'm here to tell you, my friend, if you ever get saved by the good grace of God, I'm telling you, there's no turning back. There's no going back. If you have got an interest in Him when you get saved, you should always have that interest in your beloved. Now, there is a holy union with Him. Hear what I said. We are flesh of His flesh, and we are bone of His bone. There is a blessed union with Him. John, Jesus said in His intercessory prayer in John 17, 20 and 21, He said, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us. I'm here to tell you something, church. Salvation, amen to God, puts us in Christ. I am in Christ. Oh, yes, sir. When that blessed side of His was riven on Mount Calvary, and out came water and out came blood. It symbolized that holy way behind the veil into the presence of God. And every time an old sinner comes by the way of the cross and climbs up in the riven side of the Son of God, I'm telling you, that spiritual veil closes upon him, and we're sealed in him until the day of redemption. Bless his wonderful name. That union cannot be severed. It's an impossibility. The Bible said in Romans 8, 38 and 39, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor power, nor things present, nor things present. Tell me something that is present right now that can separate us from the love of God. Things present. Tell me something. Sin tribulation? Sin famine? Can principalities? Can powers? What power is greater than His power? What principality has more authority than the throne of God? He said, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor things to come. I've heard people say, yeah, but what if somewhere up the road He just said, nor things to come? Buddy, you better read your Bible, neighbor. Amen to God. What can come? Look here now. What can come in the life of a child of God but what He does not allow to come into your life? For we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. Me and Mama's been a shouting her out at the house today. Woo! 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 God done been a-working on us. Hallelujah to God, Brother Mark. I'm satisfied that the problem I have, God has allowed it to be there. For your consolation and for your comfort and for your benefit, that Brother Hall, somewhere down the line, might be a blessing to other saints of God through it all. Now, I'm going to tell you something, friend. I was sitting over there thinking today, and I'm telling you, hey, He said that we're made partakers of His sufferings. And I thought, man, I can't, hey, you think of the honor, boy, that He'd allow me to be made partaker of His sufferings? If His sufferings was comfort to folks, and He's allowed us to go through comfort, to go through sufferings, that our suffering may also be a consolation that would abound unto salvation in a minute, then hallelujah to God. Let the hard times roll, that sinners might get saved and God's people might be strengthened and find help. Blessed be the blessed name of the Son of God that He's allowed us to go through what we have. Amen. I don't know how I got off on that. He said there's not a creature, not height or depth or a creature that'll separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus our Lord. I want to say secondly, that the words there, my beloved, teaches us that our faith in Him and our love toward Him still continues. She said, I got started back here, my beloved, and I got started with faith, and I got started, and by the way, faith and love go together hand in glove. They cannot. I want to say they cannot be separated. I've heard folks say, well, I lost my salvation, but I still love Jesus. That's a lie out of hell. You never did love Him, friend. If you ain't got it, you never did love Him. Hey, I've got Scripture for it. I've got Scripture, Galatians 6:5. For circumcision availeth nothing, and neither uncircumcision, but faith that worketh by love. And I'm here to tell you, my friend, if we really love Him the way we ought to love Him, we ought to be powerhouses with faith upon us tonight. Ain't no wonder we're so puny and poor and helpless in faith, because we have got a, our love for Him just ain't where it ought to be. Hallelujah to God. When she said, "My beloved," the second time, she's saying, acknowledging the fact that her faith and her love yet continued in Him, just the way it always had. Son hadn't wavered a bit. Oh no, heart hadn't grown cold. Her worship was where it ought to be. She is worshiping. The odor went up. Wow, the king sat at the table. Her spikenard went up. Oh, her worship hadn't depreciated. Her faith hadn't wavered. Her love hadn't grown cold. He was still her beloved. I'm going to tell you something, my friend. She was espoused to one husband. He had the priority in her life. It was Him and Him only. Everything else had to take a second seat to the Son of God. I'm telling you, my friend, our problem today is everything takes a front seat to Him. And His work and His ministry is always put on the back burner rather than being set up in the preeminent place that He ought to have in each of our lives. Here comes Santa Claus. Here comes Santa Claus. Right down Santa Claus Lane. Blitzing and ditzing and all the reindeer, and the whole outfits are going to hell. I have never in my life. Folks, hey, I guarantee you, folks will lay out of church a week from Sunday because it's the day after Christmas. You couldn't expect anybody to come to church with a full belly of turkey. And ham, oh no! After all, we had to keep little John and Susie home to play with all their toys. Huh? And by the way, we'll spend $1,000 on toys, but don't you dare ask me to put 50 cents in for missions this week. Jingle bells, shotgun shells, rabbits all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in an old Model A. I know where I'm at. I'm sick of commercializing the birth of our Lord. And I'm not fussing at the lady. I had a lady call me tonight and said, "I'm more separated than y'all." I said, "Y'all down there, said y'all celebrate Christmas." I said, "Ma'am, do you celebrate the resurrection?" She said, "Well, sure I do." I said, "Then don't fuss at me for celebrating the birth. It come first." I ain't a celebrating Santa Claus. I ain't a celebrating Santa Claus, but I'm glad that God wrapped Himself in a robe of flesh. Hallelujah to God. And came all the way to this earth, my friend, and humbled Himself and died on a cruel cross that sinners might go to heaven and spend eternity in the presence of God. Bless His name. Hallelujah. These two graces never separate. They never separate. It also teaches us that she was not ashamed of Christ. She said, "My beloved," and called Him that twice. I wonder if we're ashamed of Him tonight. Go to a restaurant and bow our head to pray and look around and see how many folks is listening. I like what Brother Matthias said. Old Jim Humphreys, done dead and gone on to be with God. Lived up in Indianapolis, but Brother Matthias said that him, Brother Gene and Brother Jim used to travel together. We called him Hump. Brother Gene said him and old Hump went to Arizona to preach in a real dignified church. And Arizona said they had one of them dignified folks that took them out to supper one night and said, "I told you," told Hump, I said, "Hump, you're going to have to be on your best behavior." Said, "We're going to," and you got to know Hump, he'd shout at the drop of a hat. All you'd have to do is walk up behind him and say, Jesus loves you, Hump. And it was all over, son. Hump was gone, buddy. I mean, it was all... They went into one of these 17-course dinner houses, buddy, where they have the white tablecloths and the maitre d's and all that stuff. And they push a cart, and you choose off of that cart what you want to eat first. And they serve you at your table. Brother Gene said that man and woman that took us to eat made a bad mistake. Said they looked over at Jim and said, Brother Humphreys, would you please grace the food? He said, by the time Hump got done a praying and a shouting, the food done got cold. Amen. Said he got to, said he rolled out of that chair. Said he said, Jesus, and the tears began to roll down old Hump's face. And said, Brother, he began to thank God. Said, I had never been interested like this in my life. White tablecloth, men, waiters. He said, hey, even got a water bowl to wash my fingers in. Said, I never see. Said, Lord, I want to thank you for being so good to old Jim Humphreys. And I tell you, God, hey, somebody said, what are you saying? I'm saying old Hump wasn't ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Dear friend, I'm telling you, that bride said, my beloved, I am not ashamed of my beloved. That's right. And it teaches us of her singular esteem for him. That is, she loved him and nobody else. My beloved. Now I want to hit this other one. I said the character of Jesus, and then I want to hit this cluster of temper. There's alliterated outline, a character and a cluster. The character and a cluster. Squeeze the grapes and taste the juice. She said, my beloved is like a cluster of camphor from the vineyards of En-Gedi. He is like a cluster. Hey, and I could go in, man, there's a ton of stuff. He is a cluster of divine deity. He is a cluster of perfect deity and perfect humanity. He is a divine cluster of spiritual graces. He is a divine cluster, amen, of the works of the Holy Ghost. I mean, of the labors of God. They so many things. Oh, but I just wrote down. Somebody said, now, where do you get the grapes from? Now, I'm not an expert at this. But the word cluster there is the same old word that's mentioned in Numbers chapter 13, when Joshua and Caleb brought back the grapes from Eshcol, from on the other side of the river, my friend. Amen. Eshcol and cluster, same word. And if it's the same word and they got them out of the vineyards of En-Gedi, then it must be referred to a cluster of grapes. She said, my Lord is like a cluster of grapes. Squeeze them and taste the juice. I tell you, if you squeeze the Lord, you can taste the juice. I want to say he was squeezed on Calvary. He was bruised for our iniquities. God squeezed him and the blood ran out. The juice, the grape juice, ran out. And I tasted it in salvation. And it's wonderful. Hallelujah to God. I want to say, squeeze the grapes and taste the juice. Amen to God. That gives reference to the grapes that were found growing in Canaan. She said, he is like those grapes growing in Canaan. Now I want to say, you can taste the juice in the blood of his salvation. Have you ever tasted it, my friend? Tasted of the Lord and seen that he's good? What is it, old brother? What is it, old brother? Isaiah said he was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. We hid it, were our faces from him. He was despised and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. I'm simply saying, my friend, that cluster that cluster of camphor from the vineyards of En-Gedi was squeezed on Mount Calvary. Oh, yes, he was put between a rock and a hard place by the Father. And it was there, my friend, that he stood under all the wrath of God and was put between the wrath of God and the sins of man. And as God put the squeeze on the cluster of camphor from the vineyards of En-Gedi, it made the blood of the Son of God run forth. I'm telling you, I've been to Mount Calvary. I've tasted of the blood. Bless your heart. It's not by baptism. It's not being baptized in somebody's name. It's not church membership. It's not works. It's by the blood of Christ. I'm tired of that crowd. Huh? Bunch of wet Church of Christ. Oh, that outfit is, buddy. Huh? That outfit don't know beans from Applejack about the Bible. They got a verse of Scripture, and that's all they know. And they try to build a doctrine and a life and a church on a verse. It's line upon line. Precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. Amen to God, that's right. Do you think he suffered at the hands of sinful men? You think he allowed Romans to beat him with a cat of nine tails, pluck the hair out of his cheeks? Do you think he allowed men to spit in his face, smite him? Do you think that he suffered the rebuke of the tongues that he bloody created and gave breath to and the ability to talk to? Do you think that he suffered at their hands just to let man get saved by grace or water? There ain't 1 ounce of salvation in a glass of water. I'm telling you, if there's ever a disgrace to the power of the cross, if there's ever a slap in the face of the Son of God, it's for somebody to tell me that I've got to be baptized or that I've got to speak in a tongue or I've got to do good works and ride a bicycle all over Hell's Half Acre like the Mormons do to get into glory. I've tasted the blood. I've tasted the juice. Don't hand me that junk. I've been to Calvary. The day is set. I shall not be removed. I know where Mount Calvary is in my life. And I shall not be moved from the cross. In the cross. At the cross where I first saw the light. And the burden of my soul was rolled away. Hallelujah. You ain't got age, have you, Brother George? I know I'm drinking out of your glass. Just ordering through that glass of water. But praise God. The blood, His blood, the juice of salvation, it was squeezed. My friend, those grapes were squeezed and the blood of the cross ran out. It's by it that God provided for you and I redemption from the fall of Adam. Oh man, I feel God in me again tonight, Brother Ricky. Redeemed, oh, how loud to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed by His infinite mercy. A child, and how long and forever I am. Hallelujah. Then I want to say, not only have you tasted of the blood of salvation, but have you tasted of the juice of fellowship? Huh? Bible said in the book of Matthew, in chapter number 26 and verse 26, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it, gave it to His disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is My body." And He took the cup and gave thanks. Gave it to them and said, "Drink ye all of it. For this is My blood of the New Testament that was shed for the remission of many. Hallelujah to God. Now I'm here to tell you, my friend, it's by His blood that we have fellowship with the Lord. Amen. Oh yes, except ye eat my flesh and drink my blood, ye shall have no life in you. I'm telling you, friend, it's by the blood that we have fellowship with the Lord. Oh, yes, sir. Hey, until His blood was shed, no human flesh was allowed into the presence of God. No human being was allowed into the presence of God. That's why they were in paradise, my friend, in the heart of the earth. But when the blood was shed and placed on the mercy seat, well, and I'm in the book, and I'm in the Holy Ghost, and I'm drunker than a coot on God, and I like it this way. Now, I'm telling you, friend, once the blood was shed and offered on the mercy seat, it allowed we was made accepted in the Beloved. And that blood paved the way for every old sinner saved by the grace of God, that he might walk into the throne room of God, into the presence of God, and have blessed fellowship with Him. Look here. What's that table say? This do in remembrance of me. Now I'm telling you, my friend, when we fellowship around this communion table in the Lord's Supper, we're doing that in remembrance of Him, of the body that He gave, that the bread represents unleavened bread. God have mercy on that bunch of Baptists up in North Carolina eating McDonald's hamburgers and drinking Pepsi-Cola at the Lord's Supper. They are a bunch of hellions that's desecrated the table, desecrated the cross, desecrated the name of Christ. And that crowd, my friend, except they get born again, is going to hell. Oh no! You do not desecrate that blessed table and what those sacraments represent on that table. I'm telling you, there's no saving grace in them, but Sun Baptist put too little of an emphasis on that table, on that bread, and on that blood. It is our privilege to fellowship because of that. His wonderful name. I want to say the blood of cleansing. Have you tasted it? Are you clean? Yes. Somebody said, what do you mean, preacher? Well, I'm fixing to read it and tell you what I mean. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, get this now, cleanses us from all sin. Not the water fountain, brethren. Not the baptistry, gentlemen, ladies. But the blood of His Son cleanses us from all sin. Thanks be unto God, I have been to Jesus' laundromat. Woo! And it wasn't a dry cleaner. I was plunged beneath the blood that was drawn from Emmanuel's veins. No dry cleaning work in that, buddy. And I'm cleansed daily by the washing of the water, by the Word of God. Hallelujah. There's no dry cleaning there. Right. Oh, you clean tonight? I'm talking about clean, clean, squeaky clean. Been cleansed, washed. Been to Calvary. You remember the day you went under the fat winner? Remember the day you went under the blood? What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Clean. That old sin of unbelief gone. That old adultery gone. That old... You want me just to turn over and name you a few of them? Somebody said, oh, not me. Oh, quit lying now. Don't lie. I'm fixing to show you something if I can find it here. Where is it? Somebody help me. Where is and such were some of you? Huh? Well, that's 1 Corinthians, what chapter? 1 Corinthians 6. Verse 10. Oh! Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not enter and inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But now, ye are washed. Bless His wonderful name. Amen. Washed. But you're sanctified. But you're justified. In the name of the... His blood for healing. That old good Samaritan passed by and saw that old fellow going down to Jericho in a ditch. And he got down in that ditch where he's at and poured in oil and wine. Now wine, folks, you know, I don't have to tell you where wine comes from. Squeeze the grape. Taste the juice. Can you imagine that old Samaritan laying there all sin just had him all beat up. Two thieves come by that day, sin and Satan. They robbed him. He was broke, poor like a beggar. And they stripped him. He had no clothes of his own. But that old good Samaritan climbed down in that ditch and poured in a little oil of the Holy Ghost and a little bit of that healing wine. Amen to God. And wrapped him in his own garment. And set him on his own beast and took him to the inn. You know what he found in the inn? Rest. And food. And water. And comfort. Now I'm going to tell you something else they found there. An innkeeper. Son, it's a getting thick in hall. I don't know about nobody else. Son, it's a getting foggy up here around me, boys. Thank God we've been healed. I've tasted of the juice of His healing by His stripes. Ye are healed. Bless your heart. Then I want to say His blood of joy. That water that was turned into wine. Always in the Bible, a type of joy. Have you tasted of His joy? Have you squeezed a grape and tasted the joy that comes out of it? Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Nothing like it in all this world. Huh? Now I won't say this in closing. Listen carefully. God gave me this right before I left the house. The clusters of camphor from the fields, from the vineyards of En-Gedi. Grapes that Eskel grow can only be found, ladies and gentlemen, in the land of Canaan. Now you listen to what I'm getting ready to tell you. God gave me this 5 minutes before I left the house. They can only be found in the land of Canaan. But I'm glad that God's ordained men like Joshua and Caleb to go into the land of Canaan. You know where I'm going, don't you? Praise God. And bring the grapes back out across the river. Why? So every old sinner on that side of the river
than squeeze the grapes and taste the juice. Hallelujah to God. Oh, yes. God will let spiritual men cross the river and lay a staff of them on their shoulder and bring them across that the less fortunate, my friend, may taste the juice that flows from the grapes that grows in the vineyards of Engedi. My beloved, it's like a cluster of camphor from the vineyards of Engedi. Squeeze the grapes and taste the juice. Have you tasted it tonight? I hope you have. Let's stand together, please. Brother Wayne, would you step back there and get me that old brown coat that I always put on out here sometimes? I didn't bring it tonight. Squeeze the grapes. Taste the juice. I may be talking to somebody tonight and you've never been saved, never been cleansed, never been healed, never been made fully whole, never enjoyed fellowship, don't know what it is, don't know what it's like. Why don't you come to Jesus tonight? I believe He would extend an invitation. He said, "Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." How's the joy tonight? Have you drank of that wine of joy? He said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full." He wants you to have fullness of joy. I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Maybe somebody by the radio tonight, you've never tasted of the Lord and His goodness. Would you tonight, if He's speaking to your heart, if He is speaking, would you yield yourself to Him, please? If God's laid His hand upon you, something in your life that needs to be checked or dealt with, would you deal with that tonight? Heavenly Father, I want to thank You again tonight for the privilege to stand and preach and the glorious liberty You gave one more time. The help of God. Bless Your people, I pray. Save old sinners tonight, Lord Jesus. You've came into the world to call sinners to repentance. Call some tonight, Lord, yea, numbers, to repentance. And bless Your people. Help them, I pray, to see the glories of the cross, the beauty of Calvary, the blessedness of Jesus, the wonder of the incarnation, the glory of the resurrection, and the hope of His soon coming. Magnify Yourself in our midst, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. What is that, George? 296. If God's spoken to your heart, you come tonight. These are praying. You're welcome to come tonight, as we say. 296.